welcome back to Hunter Logan Unmiked. This is episode 3, divorce. And I'm going to talk about the divorce. Not my divorce, but my parents' divorce. Something that I never wanted my kids to go through, and they haven't. And they never will. I pray they never will. If I have my way, they never will. I sure don't plan on it. But when I left you the last time, I was learning how to play guitar, starting to get good at it. And by the way, my very first guitar was bought when I was 7 years old. Talked to my mom this morning. It was bought. We figured it out. I was 7 years old or 8 years old, seven or eight. But it was bought at a place called Eckerd Drugs, not TGNY. I said TGNY, but it was Eckerd Drugs. And it was bought for either $12 or $16, she said. So it was a long time ago. But either $12 or $16. But I did get it back together. It is strung. It does play. And I am going to hold on to that because that is the first instrument that I ever had and owned, the first guitar ever. So I'm glad that I have that together. So now at this point, at 14 years of age, I'm playing. I've improved. I'm learning. We're starting to get a band together at church. It's called the Words of Faith Singers. We're traveling a bit. I'm 14 years old. I'm the lead guitar player. We're going to different churches. We actually open up for the Hensons in Lake Charles, Louisiana, at the Civic Center. That was one of the coolest things. When we did that, I believe I was 16. So I have to backtrack because that didn't happen till later. Yes, 16. Okay. So 14, which is about the time the actual divorce happened. So when I was 14 years old, here in Louisiana, you could get your driver's permit. So your learner's permit, you could get at 14. I think now it's 15, but at the time you could do it at 14. So I was getting my learner's permit, and we had a big 98 Oldsmobile, which is actually what I learned to drive in. And I think we had a 79 Lincoln Continental at the time, another big boat. It was green. That's what my dad drove. And we had an 88 Oldsmobile, big, big Oldsmobile too. So we had a 98 and an 88. That one was blue. The 98 was beige. We had big cars growing up. My first car was actually a 1966 Cadillac Coupe de Ville. You talk about a long car. Man, I'd love to have that one back. Had a big 455 in it. But it quit running after a while and never could get it running right again. But that was my actual first vehicle, a 1966 Cadillac Coupe de Ville. I think I got to drive it once or twice around the block. But I'd love to have that back. Anyway, so my mom and dad meet these friends. And they're going to our church. My dad does not go to church at the time. Now, for this segment, I'm going to refer to my dad as real dad and my stepdad as stepdad. Now, I refer to both of them now as my dad. So when I introduce them to people, when they come here, artists or friends, I always say my dad. When I say my dad is helping me or my dad done this at the studio, I'm talking about my stepdad because he's the one who does that kind of work. My real dad, which I would call my real dad, who I call dad as well, doesn't do that kind of work. He used to paint. So he painted some of the studio, but he's disabled now. So he doesn't do much. In fact, I look after him. And so during this episode, I'm going to refer, you'll hear me talk about my real dad and my stepdad. Now, today, all is well between all of us, and I refer to both of them as dad. But back then, there was a time I didn't like either one of them, especially not my stepdad or my real dad. But I was a young kid with no way to deal with this stuff. And that in itself was something, but I didn't know it at the time. But anyway, so at 14, I'm learning, I'm getting good at playing. I'm playing by ear. I'm listening to records. I'm learning what's on the record. I got some buddies at school who are coming over after school. They're doing the same thing I'm doing. They're learning. We're starting our little bands. We think we're good. I mean, we're just doing what kids do who are learning to play music. And my dad, my mom never disencouraged that at all. They never had a problem with us playing and jamming at that age at all. So after school, you know, we would play. Now, like I said, at 14, you could get your learner's permit, but you had to have a parent with you to drive. So my mom worked. She was a head cashier at Winn-Dixie at this time. And my dad was a self-contractor painter. He painted. So sometimes he had jobs, sometimes he didn't. So it wasn't all the time that he was at work. And so it wasn't all the time that we could have jam sessions. So if he was at home in the afternoons, we didn't play music. So most of the time I was in my room or I was outside playing or doing something. And the only time I really got to drive is when I was with my mother. And she would let me drive at times. So that's how I got to drive. But when you get 15, you get your license and you can drive on your own. Then you can start driving to school. And that's really cool. So, this is what happens at this point. I think I turned about 15. Now, these friends, the lady becomes my mom's best friend, right? And her husband's an over-the-road truck driver, so he's gone a lot. So all of a sudden, she needs things done at her house. Sometimes at midnight, her toilet would get stopped up. Guess that's what they called it back then. I'm just kidding. But there would be things that would need to be done because her husband was on the road. She had two kids as well. They were a lot younger. I don't remember the age, but they were quite a bit younger. 6 and 8, maybe, something like that. The little girl used to hang on me all the time. And she was cute. But they were a lot younger than me. Like I said, I turned 15 by then. And I believe by this time, my dad, they had got contracted to work at the hospital. painting. And it seemed like by the time they got done painting it, they would have to start all over again because the hospital was so big. So it would just start all over. Well, it ended up, my dad ended up going to work for the hospital full time as a painter. And he was there for over 25 years. He was the painter at the hospital for over 25 years. But sometimes, I guess he would get off early. Because I would get home about 3:30 in the afternoons. And he was, you know, he should be working. But, because he should get home around 5 or so. And then around 5:30, he wasn't home. And my mom wouldn't get home till around 7 or 6 or something like that. So, I would just walk across the railroad tracks because that's where they lived. You could just walk across the railroad tracks and you were at their house. And sure enough, that's where my dad was. He'd either be drinking coffee. Of course, the kids were there, the little kids. Or he was painting something for her or doing something. And that became quite common. So when I would come home and my dad wasn't home, for some reason, I would just walk across the tracks to see, you know, if he was there. And that's usually where he was. So I don't remember exactly how long all this was going. It was going on for a while. I ended up being around 16 when this all actually, I think the divorce actually happened. It was 15 or 16 when they actually split and it all come out. But she had ended up getting pregnant. And now keep in mind, we're all going to the same church here, right? We're all at the same church. And I remember one specific incident where I'd walked across the tracks. And it's like he really jumped real back. He was close on her, like leaned into her, and then he jumped real back real quick. And I came home and I told my mom, and I said, you know, I said, I think Daddy's having an affair on you. And she slapped me in the face and said, don't you ever say that about your dad. And, you know, that's not, you don't talk about your dad that way. I'm like, okay. And I just went on about my business. Of course, you know, 15, you get an attitude too. I mean, as a 15-year-old teenager, you're 15, 16. You think you know everything as well. I can say that now. Couldn't say that back then. So, I didn't bring it up. I never brought it up again, right? Well, at the hospital, she has the baby. Of course, she's still my mom's best friend at the time. So my mom goes to see her best friend at the hospital and see the baby. And when my mom sees it, she's like, man, that looks just like me when he was a baby. That looks just like my son when he was a baby. Wait a minute. Then I think it kind of dawned on her right then and there. And all those late nights of fixing the toilet and all those phone calls and all that stuff kind of started adding up. And I don't know how, you know, if she pressed, I don't know how it came out, but it came out. And when it came out, it was something. Come to find out, it wasn't the first time for her. Now, it was the first time for my dad, my real dad, but it wasn't the first time for her. Now, it takes two, granted. So, here's where things really started going off the rails for me. Now, I'm a mama's boy, first of all. because I am their only child. Now you know that I have a half brother. I also have a half sister because my dad, my real dad, has another child later on. And I'll cover that in a bit because we're going to have more. This is going to take more than just one episode. So after this all comes out, and this is freaking me out because I've never seen, I mean, this is my world now. And to me, I'm in a perfect world. Now, I know some of you listening to this had it rough in your childhood. And I'm truly sorry for that, but I didn't. I had a wonderful childhood. I grew up in a great town, Jennings, Louisiana. Things were nice. I had great friends. I had a great childhood. I had no problem being an only child. It was wonderful. I wasn't abused in any kind of way. I had a great upbringing. I really did. And up to that point, even through the divorce part of it, my mom did the best she could with the hand she was dealt. She really did. Now, you got to understand something. All of this is water under the bridge. Now, I'm just giving you the details to bring you up to where we're going. Because this would have a shape in my life going forward. Because this was a major, major event for me that would change me in ways later on down the road that I wouldn't even realize. So after it came out, I think there was the point of they were going to try to make it work, and my dad was supposed to leave her alone, but he didn't, or she didn't leave him alone. But here's where it got off the rails for me. In the church, they had my mom sitting on one side and this lady sitting on the other. And they were telling my mom, you know, she had to forgive that lady, and, you know, they had to just go to church like everything's okay. Now, here's this lady with this newborn baby sitting right next, you know, on the next aisles over in the pew. I mean, church wasn't that big. And then people are, you know, all around her and like, oh, you know. And here's my mom, who's been the youth leader of the church, the secretary of the church. It's been there ever since I was growing up. So I grew up in that church up until that point. And her and my dad are still fooling around. My real dad. Still fooling around. And my mom's sitting there having to choke all that stuff down. I'll just be quite honest with you. It pissed me off. And from that point on, I was done. But I had my eyes on man, not God. But as a 16-year-old kid, 16-year-old kid, which is what I was, I didn't have my eyes on God. I had my eyes on man. And man messed up because that was wrong what man did. That was wrong of that preacher to do that. It was wrong. That lady should have been made to go to another church because it caused dissension in there. It caused, you know what happened to that church, though? That church split. That church sure enough split. And that wasn't the last time that lady caused some problems in that church, by the way. Or the last church that lady went to, by the way. And that's the truth. But at that point, I got my eyes off God and I had them on man, and I didn't get them back on God until the darker years. So when we come back, which will be episode 4, we'll finish up with some more on the divorce and the stuff I was doing. My mom didn't even know what I was doing. I was doing some stuff that was so out of character for me. That's going to wrap it up for this episode. Make sure and check out HLEradio.com. We're live every morning, Monday through Friday. We have free apps. You can download those. Also, tell folks about Hunter Logan Unmiked, this podcast. It's available everywhere, podcast or iTunes, Switcher, TuneIn, Apple, podcast.co. And until next time, I'll see you.